Welcome to the Red Bearded Predator Podcast, where average folks talk about walleyes, whitetails, Wisconsin outdoors, and beyond.
Feels like a beast. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast one. Holy cow.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of RBP Weekly. It's just our weekly installment of checking in with you, our subscribers and viewers, and the like. So I got Bud and Andy both with me this evening. How's it going, boys?
Good.
That's good. Good to hear. That's a positive. That's a positive. So I guess might as well get into what you boys are drinking tonight. What you guys drinking?
I got a Canadian whiskey and Fresca.
Sounds pretty darn good.
Tonight I've got a Canadian Hunter and a little Pepsi with a splash of lime.
Nice. That sounds pretty good. And I'm unfortunately just drinking water. Because that's all I can afford when Colorado makes you pay $127 to buy just preference points. So ended up buying an elk preference point, mule deer preference point, and a pronghorn preference point. We got to do Would You Rather again tonight. Because that's all the way right. That's the way we're going to start off every show. So
why do you always get to pick what would you rather? Why don't we get to rotate?
Because I get to deal with the technology stuff. Since I get to deal with the technology stuff, you guys get to deal with the questions. So, unless you guys want to deal with technology.
Well, I'm good.
Would you rather catch a 32-inch walleye, okay, or would you rather catch a 55-inch muskie? I pose that question to Bud first, because you're to my left. What would you rather do?
That's a tough one. Because you're talking, that's like the top size of each fish.
Yep.
I would probably almost, where would you be, let me just get a farther detail.
Okay.
Is the muskie like an accidental catch, or are you out there strictly fishing for muskie?
You're out
strictly fishing for.
Yep, you're out there targeting both species.
So like either I'm out targeting muskie or I'm out targeting walleye.
Yep.
I catch.
Yep. And you catch what you're targeting.
I would say the muskie.
All right. What's the reasoning?
Just the dedication it takes. You know, when you always hear that the muskie is the 10,000 fish, 10,000 casts, and then to catch a trophy one like that, I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, me and Andy, we're kind of babied up here on the bay. Pretty much every weekend, you know, we have a chance of catching a 32-inch walleye. Most of the time, all we're doing is going for a boat ride and dragging six lures behind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But at the same time, we have a chance of catching a 55-inch muskie doing that, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you caught a pretty, was that last year or the year before? Pretty solid fish?
Last year, we caught that nice one in the river. And I think 2 years ago, I caught that nice one trolling. Or the Swamico.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. That was a good one, too. All right, Andy, I pose the question to you now. 32-inch walleye or a 55-inch muskie?
So my answer is pretty short and sweet, to be honest. It would be a 32-inch walleye, just because I'm a walleye guy. I have caught muskie before. I see the allure to catching muskie. You know, the challenge.
All right, that's fair.
Now, had you have said, you know, say a mid-40s northern, well, I might lean that way, because I do enjoy catching northern.
Oh, northern are fun.
I know a lot of people say that there's probably not a big difference between a northern and a muskie, but being a walleye guy, I would say 32-inch walleye.
In my opinion, I would probably go with the 55-inch muskie just because that's such a massive, it's a massive fish. Just, it's just, I think 55-inch muskie would be almost unimaginable how big a fish that really is. It's just crazy because that's like putting two 25-inch walleye together. Like, that's just insane to think of. The amount of mass and whatnot that comes with that. So I don't know, that was the thought that came to my head today. So I don't think you could go with any wrong answer. Might as well go over to the walleye bite from the weekend here. So Bud, you were around for both days.
Yeah,
give us your report.
Friday night I would say was good. We ended up making three passes trolling. We picked up a 26-inch on one pass, a 24 on one pass, and the first pass, we just considered that one practice. That was still during daylight. So I look at, you know, we made two passes. We picked up two fish. Wasn't lights out, but the fish we caught were nice quality. Saturday, we tried doing the jigging thing during the day, and it seemed shut down to us. I mean, I'm sure we could have did some different things, hit the channel edge and slowed down, and we probably could have picked up fish, but we kind of just went on an exploring mission. As far as the river, we went a whole week and the water temp went down. So I know when that water temp drops, when it goes down, it really puts the fish in a funk. But I know they had two tournaments out there, and guys still caught good fish. I think it was just a matter of grinding out a spot or a certain technique and finding the right pot of fish, and you could do good.
Yeah. I'd say just that water temperature from, what was it, just under 40 degrees on Friday night, and it was 36 right around.
Yeah,
it was a pretty significant drop in 5 hours.
Yeah. And, you know, and that was just the Friday to Saturday. I mean, yeah, because I'm looking at the weekend pass,
yeah,
and we were at that 41, and then Friday night we were at 39. So you had a temp drop throughout the week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we left the river at, what, 10:30?
It was, yeah, 10:30, 11, somewhere around there.
10:30 o'clock is when we left the river.
Yeah.
And we were at 39.5.
Yep.
And then when we got up there Saturday morning, it was down to 36.5.
Yeah.
It's only 3 degrees. That's a lot for a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I think Bud saw an instance of that earlier this year. They were actually dealing with minnows, and they put the minnows in warmer water, I believe. Right, boys?
Oh, yeah, we've played around with them. When you swap all your water, if your water's not the same temp, your fish go crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's just a good experiment, like, to see how water temperature can affect fish's mood and behaviors. So,
well, I mean, look at your minnow pail in summertime versus if you have it out on the ice. When that water gets super cold, and all your minnows slow down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thompson Sportsman said he'd rather catch a 55-inch muskie than a 32-inch walleye. All right, I like the viewpoint, Thompson. Thanks for your input. I like that. Andy, do you have much to comment on for the weekend? I know you just were out briefly Saturday morning. Any thoughts?
No. There was a lot of boat traffic. I would say maybe a little bit more than normal. I think there was a tournament that was going on out there. You know, a lot of guys were moving around, which tells me the same thing. A lot of guys were having a hard time, you know, finding fish. Looking at the tournament results, though, there were definitely some guys that figured it out.
Yeah.
And
And I would say the overall highlights from the weekend were we caught those couple big fish Friday night, like Bud said. Then we found some overlooked spots on the river that we had no idea was that was there. So that was another highlight. Then I guess the last highlight was I caught a wallet. Not a walleye, a wallet underneath. Yeah. I think that was the Shawano Avenue Bridge that I caught that under. So.
Speaking of that bridge, Eric, I think somebody jumped off it today.
Well.
Yeah, they had it closed.
They had it closed out for body water.
Well, maybe we'll be catching bodies next. Who knows?
You know what you're gonna box.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. So. I guess that was the update from the Fox River in the Green Bay. We didn't even make it out on the bay. We'll be getting to that more in April. I figure, you know, since we did night troll, we could just talk briefly about what a night trolling setup looks like. I just want to stay that we're not like the creators of how to night troll. I guess we learned our information from Tom Boley, but we have our own take on what we do with the trolling part of things, so... Bud, do you just want to go over the small little details of night trolling?
Sure. Pretty much all your rods are the same. You know, gear up for the camera. This is just your standard box or planer board. I've tried numerous things. I've done the firefly lights, which is a light that actually clips on to the top of your flag. They work good, they're bright. Where I ran into a battery they put in it, they tend to explode very easily, and it kind of kills the entire light. And it's not just a standard battery, it's a specialized battery. You can't just run wherever, go buy them. I've tried zip-tying glow sticks to the flags. A lot of guys do that. I have noticed, if you're gonna do that, you have to buy the bigger glow stick. I think it's like the pendant. It's, you tie it to a string that goes around your neck as a necklace. Those I've seen guys out there with them. They actually do light up pretty good, but you can't use just the little flimsy, you know, one you put around your wrist. But the best setup I've found, and Eric got me on this, and we got this from Tom Boley, but it's a little tea light. That you can pick off Amazon. I think, what did you end up paying, like $10, and we got like 4 dozen lights?
Yeah, we got 25 lights for $10 and just a little piece of Velcro connected to the board. Yeah, and I guess the only other feature would be the reflective tape that I just picked up from a local hardware store. So, yeah.
And that's nice because you can always shine a flashlight out there and you can see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did just this week find there's a guy on Facebook that's actually molding up a piece of plastic that actually snaps on your board and screws on that accepts that tea light. So you eliminate the Velcro. But that's one thing I've noticed with the Velcro is once it gets wet, it gets kind of floppy. So where that kind of hard plastic holder would be kind of nice. I think he's charging like $25 for sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too on Facebook earlier today. That was a pretty cool little invention that he came up with, though. Andy, you haven't been out night trolling yet, so we got to get you out there hopefully sooner rather than later on that night bite.
Yeah, we haven't been out. I know Bud and I were talking about it. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And I do have to say, with that night trolling tactic, even if you can't really see the reflective, because we noticed on the red ones, it's a little bit harder to see.
Red is dark.
Yeah. But you can see the board get buried just based off what the tea lights are doing. So, yeah. So it's just nice having a lighting system. So, yeah, just thought it'd be helpful to go over for you guys. So if you guys are wondering how to troll at night, you got a little tip to go off of now. I'm feeling a little nostalgic, so I got this hat at Goodwill like a couple years ago. I haven't worn it, so I figured We're going to do walleye stories tonight. Like I said, I'm feeling nostalgic. So, Andy, do you got any cool walleye stories that you would like to share?
Let me just do two.
Okay.
Make them short and sweet.
Okay.
The first one was hands down when Bud and I played a sport in our the Fox River Walleye Classic. That was definitely a walleye fishing highlight. Since then, unfortunately, you know, with COVID and everything else, they didn't have it last year, they didn't have that tournament this year, so we haven't been able to fish it, but there's some other tournaments that we've been looking at getting into, but that year when we played sport, that was a really good time. You know, we were going up against some guys that had some pretty big boats, some really nice equipment, guides, you know, a lot of big names out there. And it just goes to show that you don't need the best of the best, and you know, you don't need to have a $100,000 house floating around out there on the water to catch walleye. So it was a lot of fun. The second one was actually one of the videos that you got up on YouTube. I think it was the Dragon Jigs video where Archer was out with us. I absolutely love that video and cherish it, and it's just, you know, with Archer being young and my son, you know, to see him put fish in a boat and especially to outfish me, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you know, I know all of you have seen it, and you know that the part where he misses that big one and he loses it at the boat, because we've all been there, right? Every single one of us have lost a big one at the boat.
Yep.
All been. And to see him kind of go through that in that first moment, and you know, he's like, oh, geez, and he, you know, smashes his knee, and he's like, you know, we've all been there, and to see him go through, I mean, it was awesome. That one holds a special spot, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. When he hit himself, we all kind of looked at each other. We just started laughing, and every time I watch that Dragon Jigs video, it makes me laugh. And it seems like every year now, I'll do like a Snapchat to Andy and Bud, just showing that little image. So, yeah,
we've all been there. We've all experienced that, and to see that, and it's, you know, true form. Obviously, it was unscripted, and yeah, it was hilarious. So, those of you out there that if you haven't seen that video, go check out the Dragon Jigs video. It would have been last year, probably around this time.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So, and you learned some information from that video too. So Bud, what's your best walleye story?
I'm like Andy, I got way too many. My best sentimental story is going to be the first spring after my dad passed away. His fishing partner ended up calling me out during the walleye run and invited me out with him and his boat. We went out, and I knew birds, guys, and nobody's catching it except for one guy, and that was me. Ended up putting a 27.5-inch big pre-spawn female in the boat. So yeah, that would be like my sentimental story. You got the tournament story with Andy. That's a good one. There was one day with you when we were out in the smoker craft out of Swamp Boat, where you and me went out, we found that one little knob, and we just lit it up. And I think we had, I don't even know how many fish over 24 inches. I think we had our limit in the boat, I think by 8 o'clock, but we were out there pike fishing after that. Numerous big fish with Andy. I've had so many walleye memories, it's hard to pick one story.
Very cool, very cool. I guess my first story that comes to mind is when we were fishing near Fox Point. I don't know, it was probably 7-8 years ago, maybe more. And I never really got on a good walleye bite besides up in Canada. But this day, of me and one of our friends, Poopsie, me and him were just rolling the walleyes.
I do not like this story.
Yeah, Bud doesn't like this one, but I love it. Me and Poops.
James doesn't like it either.
Yeah, me and Poopsie were in the back of the boat. I think it's because we were in the back of the boat, potentially just the way our baits were moving in the water. I think we boated right around 40 or 50 fish in a half day. It was one of the most incredible days I've ever had fish in. They couldn't buy a fish. So it's one of those days where it's like, sucks to be you guys, but we had a ball
I'm
with it.
I'm a good guy. I tell everybody that. I'm a good guy.
Yeah. And my other favorite story that always comes on my timeline every year now is Andy's stick walleye. I wasn't along that day, but that story just cracks me up every time. The way Andy tells that story. He's like, I hung up on a stick, and the fish had, correct me if I'm wrong, another person's jig connected to the stick along with line and everything. And Andy felt the stick moving, and he's like, what's going on here? And there was a fish connected to the line, connected to the stick with a jig head on, and he ended up getting that to the boat. Just absolutely incredible. So,
hey, we saved that fish's life.
Yeah, you probably did, because the fish wouldn't have been moving with that stick on him.
Yeah.
So, if you guys have any stories, don't be afraid to share. Is just a few of many. You guys got anything else?
As far as stories?
Yeah, if you want to share any more, we can move on.
I mean, come on, Eric. You're talking to a guy that's been walleye fishing for like 15 years. I got lots of walleye stories.
All right. Maybe we'll have to make.
Huh?
How much time do we have? Yeah. We should get together in person. Three of us get together in person and we'll do a long format of just stories.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe we'll just do a fishing stories episode. That would be absolutely fun.
Send that off and somebody types it and we have a book.
Yeah. That's exactly. Maybe we could talk into the computer and it could dictate that for us. Like a police report. So, all right. Here we go. We're going to move on to the next part of the show here. No, it wasn't Would You Rather. Two truths and a lie. Sorry, I was wrong. Two truths and a lie. So, Bud has a chance of winning a jig here since nobody submitted. I'm surprised you haven't submitted Amanda or Alyssa. Come on, guys. You could get a jig.
Amanda tried hitting me up.
Or Archer. Or Archer. Like, could get in on this. Or Dale. Come on. Amanda, you can have Dale submit it, even though it's through you. So, if you're watching. All right, Andy, refresh us on the two truths and a lie, if you could. If you remember that far.
I don't. All right, you want me to recall?
Yeah.
I believe one was he caught his first pup when he was 5.
Yeah.
And second one was he's never missed a deer that he's shot at.
Yep.
And then I think the third one is his PB walleye is 30 inches.
Yeah, you're right.
Those are three?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Dale got his vote in. Dale guesses deer.
Dale guesses deer?
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's Dale's guess, I guess. Because you're supposed to guess the lie, correct?
Yep.
All right. So is everybody timed in?
Yep, everybody's in.
Well, sorry, Dale, but you're going to steal my Jake because I know Andy. I know Andy loves to deer hunt, but I know he hasn't shot at many deer. Because he's very conservative on the trigger.
Burn.
So I guarantee you, he has never missed a deer that he has shot at.
That's a fair statement. Yes. I have shot deer.
Yeah.
I've never missed a shot.
Yeah. But I'm willing to bet you haven't shot many deer.
No. I have not.
So that's leaving the trout and the walleye.
Yep.
Well, Andy's walleye career really picked up once him and me started fishing.
What bird?
I kind of know every walleye that Andy has caught. And I do know that Andy is not part of the 30-inch club, which neither am I. So I'm going with that as the lie of his personal best being a 30-incher.
That is correct.
Dang it, I get to give up a jig head.
We're still striving for that Dirty 30 club.
Yeah.
I have come extremely close. 29 3/4 was my personal best, but even if I put the boots to it, I don't think I would have made 30 inches.
Yeah, that was one heck of a fish still that you caught. So cool. So, Bud, you own yourself a jig head. Congratulations out of my collection of jig heads.
That's the best part is that you get one less jig head.
Yeah. I knew you'd enjoy that. See, this is why we need participation at home, folks. So Bud doesn't win all my lures. That's why we need audience participation. I'd rather give away to you guys than him. So, all right.
So the icing on the cake, and I'll go double or nothing on this.
Yeah.
But I'll give you two jigs out of my kit. If you can take that jig from Eric and catch your personal best of 30 inches off of it.
Ooh. That's a good challenge.
That's going to be tough. It's doable, but it's going to be tough.
Doable.
I catch a lot of my big fish trolling.
Yeah, I know it.
All right. We do have somebody that is actually part of the 30-inch club, guys. Do you know who that is? It's in one of our families. She did comment, but I don't think you guys can see the comments, can you?
No, I'm not watching the comments.
Well, Amanda, Bud's wife, says that she boated a 30 and a half incher up in Canada.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Oh. Oh. Good job, Amanda. Good job. I'm happy you...
She whooped me on our honeymoon trip. She whooped me.
That a girl, Amanda. That a girl. I'm looking at you. Good job. Way to best Bud. She bested you by 4 inches. Very impressive.
But like I said, I put her on the fish. I figured out the pattern. I gave her my lures. I mean, I was driving the boat. I'm a good guy.
Sure, Bud. Sure.
So not to fuel the fire of the of the girls' club here, but so my family, like, once I started walleye fishing on the bay, my family and I, we kind of done a walleye trip, a family, just a strictly family trip out on the bay every summer, just to get family together and go fishing and stuff. And my sister is actually a 30-inch club. She caught one that was 31 and a half.
Dang.
Out on the bay, trolling, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the... she's not on, but I may go out on a limb and say that was her first walleye she ever caught.
Wow.
So, yeah, I happened to be there, but just wasn't my turn.
Yeah.
How it goes.
Oh.
It's fishing again.
I think it's, Andy, what it is it's the people that you and me teach. Because look at Ryan.
Yeah.
Look at the Ryan. Fish Ryan catches. He had that freaking 8-pound fucking, or how big was that smallmouth he caught? Then he had that muskie.
That smallmouth was huge. I was 25 and a half inch smallie.
Yeah.
Huge.
I want to say it was a couple ounces short, because we weighed it, and according to our scale, it was like a couple ounces short of the state record.
Wow.
It was massive. I got a photo of it somewhere. Remind me, I'll have to show you. And then, when we went ice fishing, we were set up for pike, and it was a lake that is known to have muskies in it, but it also has a lot of pike in it, and that's what we were set up for. And yeah, that was Ryan's first tip up he ever caught. Or had a fish on. First tip-up fish ever. I forget what it was. It was like 42, I think. 42 inch.
42 or 45.
Dang.
And it was thick. It was, I mean, it had girth to it. And for that, like, because of the numerous numbers of predator fish, normally the muskies are thinner there.
Yeah.
Because I've actually gone back and muskie fished that lake, and it's been super thin.
Huh.
But his was long and thick. It was like, it's like shooting the dominant 6.5-year-old buck. Yeah. That's what that was.
Yeah. Well, and Ryan's kind of a, you know, no offense, Ryan, but you're a smaller fella. So that you holding that fish, it looked absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Well, now that we're through that part of the show, by the way, Amanda did say she did tell you to go over by the rocks, bud, so I'm on your side.
Canada, everywhere is rock.
I'm on your side, Amanda. What do we got coming up for the weekend here, boys? Anything outdoor related?
We're going to re-spool 3,000 yards of trolling rods.
Wow. That sounds fun and exciting. When's the last time you did that? Last year?
I think it's been like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I normally push mine about 2 years.
I gotcha. Well, figure might as well start getting ready for the tournament. For the tournament series.
Amanda works this weekend, so it's me and Dale hanging out. So I figure we get the rod set up, and then we got 2 solid weekends of fishing, and then the tournament after that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
So we gotta have our gear in top order.
Yeah, that's gonna come real fast. Yeah, and just want to say that Bud and Andy are going to be doing the Duck Creek Tournament Series here. So you'll continue to get updates if you listen to this webcast and podcast about what's going on with the Fox River and the Bay of Green Bay.
It might just be kind of vague.
Yeah. Not exact patterns. But just kind of give you what stage the fish in, whether it's still pre-spawn, post-spawn, that sort of thing. So... Yeah,
we didn't talk about any of that on our night trolling, Eric, that we noticed that we are in the transition of post and spawn fish.
Even though the water temperature...
You caught a longer fish, but I'm willing to bet my fish made more than yours.
Yeah, we both had he had a pre-spawn and I had a post-spawn, so it was just interesting seeing that the water temperature's that low and we had a post-spawn fish already, so... I think the fishing's only going to get better from here on out, guys, with that water temperature heading up, especially this week and after this cold spell Wednesday, and it's supposed to be 70 degrees, so that'll heat it up, especially with that sun. So it should be real hot this weekend for you guys. So, but I don't think...
I think it's setting up perfect for that tournament.
Yep.
Because this weekend is going to heat up the water a lot in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I checked the long distance forecast for next week, and they're calling for a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Not a allowed to determine his amount, but numerous days of just constant rain flow.
Yeah.
Which you're going to have a bunch of spawned out fish. You're going to get an increase of current.
Yeah.
You're going to start getting a lot of fish flushed out in the bay. My idea right now is I'm going to concentrate on the bay from here on out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. No, I'm excited to see what the next couple weeks hold on the bay and the river. I guess what I got going on out in the outdoors this weekend is me and my girlfriend Lisa are heading over to Iowa this weekend, and we're gonna fish the Mississippi River. We are going to be targeting perch. It's just something different that I've never done because we're so walleye focused this time of year. I want to try something a little bit different, seeing if we can get on some pre-spawn perch, because obviously the perch and the walleye are in the same family, so the perch should be pretty active is what I'm hoping for. So I'm not sure where to target yet or anything like that. I don't know if it's a water temperature thing, a structure thing. I got to do some research into it and see what I can find out about pre-spawn perch. You guys know anything about perch in spring?
I know you can catch them trolling flicker shads. My extent of pre-spawn perch, Eric.
All right. Yeah, so...
you got to find, like, a downtown with, like, a big brick at, like, 25 feet. And there's some perch there, too. It is a big and a minnow.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I won't be in Green Bay. I'll be in Iowa. So, and
at least the urban fishing where you can find a big concrete block at 25 foot down.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if anybody can find that in the Green Bay area. But then I'll be heading out to do some trout fishing as well. We're gonna primarily focus on trout in the morning and the perch midday and evening for that water temperature to heat up to where those fish get more active. So my plan right now is jig with a mini mite or jig with a minnow and see what happens. Just paddling, try and find some fish. So that's what I got. You guys have anything else to add?
You're fishing back
and
you're fishing on the Mississippi?
Yeah, we're fishing Mississippi between Iowa and Wisconsin. North of Prairie du Chien is what we're looking at.
I guess probably just fishing that fresh little deep shelf outside the backwater kind of deal.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. And the water looks like it's getting lower, so it's going to be easier for us to paddle our kayaks in the current that is there. And I was looking at the drought monitor today, and I think around the Midwest our water levels on the rivers are starting to get back to normal, so the fish should start doing more normal behaviors. So that's a positive.
Yeah, we noticed that.
Yeah, so it's a nice thing to have, because the high water levels, it was nice because it opened up more areas, but it kind of stunk because having more water doesn't condense the fish as much. So having the water level back to normal will condense the fish a little bit more. So, yeah. I just want to close out this show that something that keeps our channel unique, like I said earlier, we put out content weekly. If we're on the river, we put it out the next day. We don't wait a week, we don't wait a year. It's coming out, so you're getting real-time information, whether that's on the Fox River for walleyes, the Mississippi for perch, or the Wisconsin whitetail woods, or in my case the Iowa whitetail woods. You'll get real-time information as soon as possible. So that's another benefit of watching our channel. We pump these videos out pretty frequently. Same thing with our podcast. It's going to be current information, what's going on in the Wisconsin woods and water right now, not a week from now, not 2 weeks from now, right now. And that's all I got for today's show.